This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by the Thursday Boot Company. On Thursday, we work hard and we never know where the night might take us. Handcrafted with the durability of a work boot and the sophistication of a fashion boot, Thursday boots will quickly become your go-to boot for work and play. With prices starting at $149 and free shipping and returns, Thursday boots are hands down the best buy this winter. Head on over to thursdayboots.com/android to see a selection of our favorites. Thursday boots, live every day like Thursday. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 262 for Friday the 13th. Was that scary? That wasn't really scary, was it?
Scared the hell out of me.
The look on your face there was awesome. November 2015.
I didn't even know it was Friday the 13th until just now.
People make such a big deal about that. It's a freaking day. Happens all the time. Although apparently it has cast a shadow on Russell.
Only half, though.
Dark side of the Russell. Anyone know what the left side of his head looks like?
No one will ever know.
Hi, Russell.
Hello. I'm so glad that you're doing this this week and not me.
Well, that's too bad, because I'm going to make you run it. You did so good last week.
No, don't say that. That was a lot of work.
You guys did great. I was a little disappointed, because I woke up at, like, I don't know what time. It was like 6 or 6:30. It's like, oh, I wonder if they're still going, and I managed to like crawl over to the computer and actually get it connected, and then damn microphone didn't
nothing.
Work.
Nothing. No mic, no audio at all.
I have no idea why, because you know it's probably like Skype taking over or something.
The great firewall.
Yeah, no, that's what was weird. The computers all would connect to the hotel Wi-Fi fine, but phones and tablets started refusing to after a day.
Well, after that first day, you downloaded the Chinese government.
I was just about to say, yeah, put on the list.
So,
you were or something. Mixed. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. To myself, I guess. We got Russell.
Welcome back, Phil
and Jerry and Andrew. It's so good to be back.
We missed you.
No, you guys did great. So yeah, I was in China last week, which still sounds crazy to say out loud, but had a blast. Really cool time. Really great people. Really interesting country. It's funny. Like I keep telling people, like, what you think you know is probably wrong, which is probably true about most things people think they know. But yeah, I mean, it's a very intricate place, you know, like so much old school. And I can't even imagine, you know, walking on things that are thousands of years old, but hundreds of years old, and just the history. It was pretty incredible. It was really cool. So
it snowed,
which sucks, but it snowed. Oh man. For people joining us for the first time, welcome. We do this once a week live.
We don't usually talk about China for the opening 5 minutes of the podcast.
We don't, but I mean, let's just go through what I did real quick. So I was over there for a Huawei media tour. And if you've never heard of a media tour, it's very much like it sounds. Companies fly you over. They paid for this, by the way. Just full disclosure there. Although I paid for it in jet lag coming home. So we flew into Hong Kong, and I spent Monday night in the Hong Kong Airport Hotel, which was great. Tuesday, we went up to Shenzhen, and did we do anything Tuesday? I'm trying to think. No, Tuesday was when most everybody else arrived. I got there early. Wednesday, we went and saw the Huawei campus, huge campus. Shenzhen's a really interesting town, too. They were saying like 30, 40 years ago, it was just a fishing village. Now it's a huge city. Saw a couple of the R&D facilities there, had a couple meetings, some stuff I can't talk about. I can't even talk that I can't talk about it. I've already broken that part of it. Campus was beautiful. Apparently their CEO is an architect. So like everything there is just immaculately designed. That was kind of cool. Wednesday night we flew up to Beijing. It's like a 3-hour flight. That's a big country. Thursday, we had more meetings and stuff, and a lot of that you saw, actually. I ended up writing up. We were at the Kirin 950 announcement, and then we had to sit down with some of the people in charge of the Nexus stuff, which was really cool to hear from. Friday, we did touristy stuff, and Saturday, I came home. So that's where I was last week. That's what I was doing. So interesting time, and there was like 8 of us there. And again, Huawei paid for it, so you better believe I told them, guys, fix your software over and over.
Good.
Did you just hold up an X6P and go, see this? All of the time, this.
This good. See why this is so bad. Good? Yeah.
Do this, but everywhere.
It's, look at what we think about the Nexus 6P and then look at what we think about every other one of your phones.
And I told him, I said, it's not about not liking a Motion UI, because actually, I mean.
Yeah, it is. Quit.
No, it's this was sort of in the same vein as what we get to do with HTC sometimes when they bring a few of us in to talk to them. And it, you know, props to the company that sits there and puts up with it from us snot-nosed kids. But yeah, so it's not even about not liking it, because we use different, you know, flavors of whatever all the time. But there's stuff that's broken, and there's stuff that's still broken, and it needs to be fixed. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with upcoming devices. I have no idea. So I didn't really see anything that secret as far as the Motion UI. I didn't see anything secret as far as
we have seen. Anytime a manufacturer builds a Nexus, their phones get better the next year, a lot better.
Yep.
And that's, you know, from working so closely with Google, the developers learn tricks.
How much of what we've heard right now, like in the past year, have we also heard and seen, like back in the LG days before the Nexus 4, right?
Yep.
Oh my God, LG's making a Nexus. And then lo and behold, like everything turns out to be really good after that. Not everything, but a lot.
Well, and then you look at the Nexus 5, everybody loves that thing.
Yeah.
Even though you have to carry an extra battery charger around, everybody still loves the Nexus 5.
So it was a cool week. It was an informative week. I think it's nice to get insight into companies and meet more of the people who make things happen. You know, does it mean I'm only going to buy Huawei phones from now on? No, probably not. But I finally did get a 6P. they handed us a phone to use while we were over there. And of course, the one I bought arrived like the same day I left, which was awesome. But yeah, so I've been using the 6P for a week, so I'll bring up everything that you guys have talked about for the past 2 weeks. Like, that's it's new.
Except that the white one is by far the nicest looking.
All right, so I've got, hang on, I've got them both sitting here.
The Frost.
I've got Frost, and I have, silver?
Yeah, aluminum. That white one looks a lot nicer than the aluminum.
I think it's a little less slippery, too. I think you get just a little bit of...
I could see that.
Hold up the graphite one so I can laugh at you for being wrong, Jerry.
I love this one. You're wrong.
It's terrible. It's so fingerprinty.
I even got to play with the gold one, and I still like this one.
You don't need a fingerprint sensor for the Graphite 6P, because you just have to point a camera at the back, and it has all your fingerprints in it already.
Hey, if you haven't heard it yet, I think I put it in our internal chat yesterday. The Android Developers Backstage podcast this week is on the fingerprint stuff, the new APIs and things, and actually learned a lot about it. Like in at a level that I could understand, so that was pretty cool.
Everybody is making sure that I should watch that and see just how wrong and dumb I am.
No, you know what? You should listen to it, because one of the first things they talked about was how fingerprints are not the be all end all of secure unlock methods. And
I got about 10 minutes into it.
Yeah. So I thought that was a really good podcast to listen to. No, I mean, my time on the Nexus 6P, it's nice. It's big. It's nice. The fingerprints.
Best Android phone ever.
The best what?
Best Android phone ever. Man. Yes or no?
It's. I tell you. I mean, I think you got to put those things in generations, right? Because
no.
Yeah.
No, it's a lot better than all the old generation.
Well, yeah, right, and it should be.
Right.
I'm enjoying using it. Yes, I think I'm enjoying using it more than I've enjoyed the Note 5 this year, and I was surprised at how much I enjoyed using the Note 5, or at least how much I didn't hate using it. Maybe I think I'm enjoying it more than I enjoy the Note 4, or not the Note 4, the G4. What did I use before that? I don't even remember.
The Note 5.
M8.
M8. Yeah, the M8 I just kind of used. Yeah. Yeah, no, I like it a lot. The camera I am pleasantly surprised with. Maybe not quite as good as the Samsung stuff, you know, but you can definitely tell like where it's not sharpening things and post, and
shockingly good for a phone that has the word Nexus on the back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's why I've been kind of living in the forums this week and wasting a lot of time in there. It's been fun just finally getting to take part in that and have people yell at me. And I haven't cracked it. I haven't broken it. In fact, I dropped it on my garage floor the other day. It was funny. I had to point out I have a hard garage floor and not a soft garage floor, because there are both. I didn't realize people didn't know that. I was sure something was going to break, and it was just fine.
That's impossible. I've heard that the glass on the back of the Nexus 6P is like spontaneously tiny layer of, it's actually paper and not glass at all, and you can just puncture right through it. I've seen the stories. You're obviously lying.
Oh, man.
I just want to point out that I have a soft garage floor because I park my Jeep in the yard.
It's going to be one of those podcasts. No structure to this one. I'm declaring it now. Let's just talk about whatever the hell we want to this week.
But I think the fact that you can't say it's the best phone, but you can't say it's not the best phone, is a testament to just how good they got it this year. You know, in the last year, if I asked you, you know, was the Nexus 6 the best phone, you'd say no.
No, yeah. Last year, I definitely would have said no. I hate that I'm hesitating because I don't mean that to be like I don't like this phone. I like it a lot. I really do like using it. I finally got a Priv today.
Best Android phone ever? Yes.
Speaking of things you guys have been playing with, what are all these damn notifications? What are the little icons above the notifications with the stars?
So you tap them to get groups. It's just groups of notifications. It is the one thing about the interface that you can't turn off.
What the hell is that?
That I don't like.
It's grouped by app.
It's a BlackBerry thing. It's so you can look at your notifications. This is a company that's new to notifications. Give them a minute to sort it out.
That's Russell at androidcentral.com. He said that, not Jerry.
Oh, you know I what? See.
I've gotten emails for the last 2 weeks about how I don't understand the BlackBerry Hub, and if I just gave it a fair chance, then I wouldn't care about the notification tray. And I love you people to death. You're wrong.
I see. So it like filters them on notifications.
They've never had to deal with such a diverse number of apps giving notifications. The BlackBerry Hub's great if all you do is get Exchange email and Facebook messages, and that's it.
And I did actually, I got corrected last week. I said that the BlackBerry Hub, because it didn't have the messaging, that was one of the things that I held against it. There is, in fact, a button to turn on threaded conversation messaging for email, and that did make using it a lot easier for me. There's so many other things. Yeah, there's so many other things that it doesn't do yet, and it really is. It's an all or nothing thing. You either give in to the BlackBerry Hub or you don't, and it's just not going to happen for me. Sorry, guys.
People that get hundreds of emails a day that are essentially spam, but you still have to read them, would realize that the Hub is not for you.
The slider mechanism is awesome.
They really so
did,
good.
Really did a nice job on
expect.
That. I'm still feeling my way. What the hell is that? Oh my god! I think I hit recent apps. No. I'm gonna...
The recent apps thing is hilarius.
I'm gonna put that down and deal with that later.
There's a thing in settings to change it back to the way that you're used to. That weird tiled interface
that they did recent or whatever it's called.
I'm waiting for the late night text from Phil.
No,
he's got the keyboard out and it's like it's written in Russian or something.
I'm charging up the last keyboard phone I used.
Oh, but that's not fair. That's such a much better keyboard.
It was such an awesome keyboard here. We'll put them side by side. Is it wider?
If you give it a solid day of use,
yeah.
you'll be right there. Once you reach the end of that day, you'll have picked it back up.
But it
does take like that whole day to get there.
It's a Motorola Q.
It's the Q9H. It's not just any Q.
See, I had the previous one. I had the one that ran Windows Mobile.
Yeah, that's what this 5. Is. Yeah.
Oh, is that? Yeah. See, I had one that was more of it was more squared off and all silver. It wasn't. And it had a jog wheel on the sides.
I know that one. That was not the good one.
Thanks for letting me know. I made a poor choice in phone like 8 years ago.
Yes, you sucked at life then, and you suck at life then. No, it's
ouch. That's
it was
killing.
No, Dieter and I used the hell out of these phones back in the day. These things were great. So I got a lot of new toys. I want to hear about the new toys you guys have because Jerry's got more new toys. Russell has more new toys, and maybe we won't ask him about them. I don't know. Jerry, I want to hear about your short time with the V10.
Best phone ever.
I love that. Oh, man, I walked into that. That's my own fault. I love that phone and hate that phone all at the same time. Everything I hated about the G4 and the interface and weird goofy stuff that LG does is magnified and worse in this new software.
Now there's my V10.
What I love about it is the camera. And that's because I like to tinker with things. The camera it's if you grab a Galaxy S6, point it at something, and push a button, you're going to get a better picture than just about any phone. But if you take the V10 and like to fiddle with things and sit there and take a moment and fiddle with it and make adjustments, you get pictures that are almost as good as a real camera.
And that's the phone I took with me to China. So, I mean, that's the one I carried over because I've got a Korean version, yeah. So I knew it was going to be banded better. Well,
and it's the camera, it's the manual camera on it is an entirely another level compared to any other phone out there. That I do want to be clear about. But using it day-to-day as a phone, I'm just not feeling it at all.
And that's okay.
Yeah. I'm having issues with the fingerprint scanner. It's just not as good as the competition.
I agree.
I have a huge issue with the way the fingerprint scanner works. You make me press to unlock my phone and then wait a second and then press to scan my fingerprint.
Did you see how I explained that in the review?
Yeah.
So, like, on one hand, it's like Samsung's, but it's worse because when you put it in your pocket, the proximity shuts off the second display. And when the second display is shut off, you can't unlock the phone. So, like, I can stick my fingers in my, you know, stick my hand in my pocket, grab the phone, have my finger there, and pushing by the time, like, I picked it up, but the display hadn't caught up yet.
I never got to use a continuum more than for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And all this time, I've told myself that the second screen is something that I would really, really love. Turns out that to me, it's just a distraction.
Yeah.
And I wish it wasn't there.
It works well, and I think Samsung had the same deal with the Note Edge. Was like in specific use cases, absolutely. Like the camera, awesome. Stick some extra things there. Same thing in the V10. But yeah, the rest of the time, just.
One thing you can't deny, back to things made of paper that bend and break easy. This is easily the toughest phone ever built.
It's really big.
It should say Nokia on the back.
Yeah.
If you tried to bend it in a machine, the machine would probably break.
Which is weird because the G4 was really plasticky and flexy.
Well, right. Then they're made out of very different materials.
This thing is
released within the same year as the G4.
Right, but they're
a completely different feel.
Totally different family. Think of it like that.
If you want to have a lot of fun, and I don't know if I would recommend this or not, you put it in an OtterBox. This is a self-defense weapon when you put it in an OtterBox. I don't have any thoughts that I want to say out loud on this yet, other than it's big. It's real big in an OtterBox.
It's big, not in an OtterBox. Yes,
but it's... It's big to me. It's big to you. But, you know, some people, it's not big enough. I get that. But when you put it in an OtterBox, I've never seen anything like this, man. If I had 20 of them, I could build a house for my dog. They're huge.
I like the overall, like, I mean, it's big. And that's, I know I keep saying that a lot, and I said a lot in the review. It's a big phone, but like...
And it's a heavy phone.
But at the same time, it's not... I think it's a better big and heavy than the Nexus 6 was.
So I got my V10 today, and I took the phone out of the box, and the first thing I thought was, why does everyone keep talking about how heavy this phone is? It really doesn't feel all that bad. The battery wasn't in it. I went to turn it on. I went, oh, no, the battery. And as soon as the battery got put in it, the 3,000 milliamp hour platter that you put in the back of this thing, then, yeah, I got it right away.
Yeah.
But that's another thing. They can build a phone that is this well built, and I think all of us that have used it have to agree that it's very well built. And it has a removable back. You know,
and the back is like this weird kind of rubbery, but it's so nicely grippy when you go to hold it.
It's Duraskin.
And it's flexible. And
until you put it in an OtterBox.
Until you put it in an OtterBox.
Have you guys played with the manual video camera yet?
Not yet.
Videos that should never see the light of day. Me playing around. Yeah.
Candid photography.
More like the wife saying, you better delete that right now or I'm going to divorce you.
Is that how she sounds?
No, she doesn't know. If you're listening, Terry, you sound like an angel. You sound beautiful. Makes my heart flutter, and I love you more.
That's exactly what I thought. Yeah, it's... People keep asking, like, V10 or G4, and they're very, like, they're very different phones, but also very the same. It's still very much the same. And that's why, for me, I think it really comes down to the size of the thing. I wish I had manual video, I guess, in the G4. But
you know what's funny? As much as I think the G4 is a better experience as a phone, if I were buying one, I'd buy the V10, because the only reason I'd buy either is for the camera.
Sure. No, that's fair. Now, Russell, you got another toy along with the V10 today.
I did.
What did you get?
I got
care to share that name with us.
I'm gonna try and get this all done in one breath.
Actually, I tell you what. Take your breath. We'll take a quick break. All Compose right. yourself, because or have a drink. You might need to. Then we'll let you talk about it. Hang on. We'll be right back. This episode of the Android Central Podcast has been brought to you by Braintree. Developers around the world have embraced the Braintree V.0 SDK as the easiest way to add secure mobile payments to their apps and websites. No matter what payment type, Braintree accepts it. Whether it's Apple Pay, Android Pay, PayPal, Venmo, credit cards, and even Bitcoin. And if something new pops up, they'll support that too. It's the same payment solution that's used by Uber, Airbnb, GitHub, so you know it scales. And integrating it into your app is as easy as inserting a few lines of code. Don't take our word for it. Try out the sandbox and see for yourself at braintreepayments.com/androidcentral. So through the magic of editing, I can make it sound like we're just back. Now, does that mean that Russell's ready? Are you?
I am.
Are you sufficiently upset?
I am prepared. This is the LG Watch Urbane 2nd Edition LTE.
By the way, that name has gotten worse since the phone was announced.
It's so...
Yes?
I don't like this watch.
Why?
I think it's important to preface this by... I don't really care for the original Watch Urbane. But it's really thick. It is noticeably thicker than the Moto 360 2015, and the bottom casing isn't even, or I'm sorry, it's even, but it's not flat all the way across.
Oh, it's so like you get these raised up in the middle.
Yeah. So you get these weird gaps on either side of my wrist that I can feel as I go to move the, you know, watch around, that I really don't care for. The strap, is like forced down because of the way that the strap is put on here. So like you get this and like that's its default position where they're forced downward like that. So it
reminds me of the Gear S2, but scaled up by like 50%.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
the Gear S2 bands are very much like that where, you know, they're straight down. So
it's so much thinner that you know, match the curvature of your wrist, you know, pretty easily, whereas these are thick, you know, really kind of rigid bands.
Well, don't they have the antenna in there and they have to be pretty rigid and tough?
They have the antenna in there and they do have to be pretty rigid, and I may just be being hard on them because it's a rubbery sport band and I don't like rubbery sport bands to begin with, and there is a leather version of this that you're supposedly going to be able to get a hold of at launch that I may like a whole lot more, but I don't have that to test. But yeah, it is everything I dislike about rubbery sport bands, only worse.
Now, my biggest question, and I guess people that know me, it's their biggest question too, because they're asking me, those are carrier locked, right?
Yeah, I think so anyway. I haven't put a T-Mobile SIM in here to see what happened, but I put a Verizon SIM in here and it lost it.
I mean, if it's anything like the Gear S, you would get it from the carrier, and it comes with a little SIM in it, and that's
this came with an AT&T SIM, and there's no AT&T software on it. It's you know, still a stock Android Wear experience, but you go to put another SIM in here, and it could just be a provisioning thing. I really don't know. I can't say whether it's actually SIM locked. But it's, you know, the Verizon SIM, it didn't detect at all. When I put the AT&T SIM back in, I had to reboot the thing in order for it to even recognize that I had put the AT&T SIM back in. Getting to the SIM tray is an interesting exercise in frustration. You have this weird thing that looks kind of like the old pizza tray triangles.
Looks like a building from StarCraft.
And so you basically put it up against these matching holes in the back of the watch, and you twist off the back cap. Where the lens for the heart rate sensor and stuff is, and you get the SIM tray. And, which is
in your other hand, kinda, you have a pog.
So yeah, basically, and so it's like this rubber seal that you have to put on here. But you can see like how raised that bottom part is, and it really like you feel that on your wrist anytime you go to move your wrist, and it's clear that like there are some problems with how the heart rate sensor works for some of the features as it sits on your wrist. There's a set of instructions if you go to use what they call stress mode in the heart rate sensor, where it specifically instructs you to disconnect it from your wrist where it is at the wrist bone and move it further up your wrist so that it can measure your heartbeat better for the stress mode.
Not having that all the time.
Right.
So, well, I mean, is there an interface to get to the network settings? Everybody wants to know, can I buy it from AT&T and use it on T-Mobile? I don't know. I tell them to ask Russell.
Yeah, I don't have an AT&T SIM here, so I haven't been able to try it yet, but it's something I'm going to try and do.
Based on previous wearables coming to T-Mobile, I would think no.
That's what I'm thinking too, and but
remember, I mean, part of this whole
T-Mobile has to give you a wearable specific SIM and provision it to work on their $5 a month T-Mobile plan, because T-Mobile doesn't do shared data and things like Verizon and AT&T do, and they're not just going to hand over that $5 SIM card. $5 a month SIM card if you don't have their watch.
And part of this whole thing was that they were cooking up something, and T-Mobile's doing it, and I think Verizon too, cooking up something so that people only have one phone number to call, and it will basically forward the calls to the watch.
Which was interesting because Samsung did this two generations of watches ago just in software.
Sure.
They just used standard call forwarding protocols, which you can do right now to call forward from one phone to the other. But in this case, it was one phone to a watch. But now they're doing it on the network side where the SIM itself, you have two SIMs with the same number, basically, right?
Well, that's a much better way to handle it in the long run. But
what nobody has really answered for me is why you would care to put up with all this extra crap to have LTE on your watch and the right have the right to pay your carrier another $5 or $10 a month for your watch.
I know I wouldn't, and it's obvious you wouldn't.
No, but, I would not.
I mean, for the people out there that would, I don't know, it's good to see another option. That's all I have to say. The Gear S 2, I see so many people think the Gear S original was better, and then you have the Apple Watch, and now there's another option on the table for people to, if that's what you want, it's always better to have more choices.
There were two things that I was hoping were going to happen so that I could answer that question for Andrew. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that the first answer would be that I could stream audio straight to this, which would be huge for people who like go jogging a whole lot or do marathons or something like that. If I could get my streaming app on this and have a pair of Bluetooth earbuds, then I could totally see how people would, like people who are really active outdoors, would want to pay for that over having their smartphone.
Right, just a direct Spotify stream or
I would totally get. And the other one was super nerdy, was if Ingress worked just directly on this thing.
Right.
You just named like the two most battery draining things you could possibly. Yeah, right.
It would burn a hole through your wrist. It would.
Yeah, I mean, the battery is like 400 milliamp hours, right?
But neither of those things happen yet because both Ingress and whatever your streaming app requires your phone as a tether, because it's not an actual app on your watch. It's a stub interface that you pull the information, which I prefer. I do not want apps to live on my watch at all. I think that there is a way to make the streaming audio work in kind of a Chromecast function, mm-hmm. where it does kind of a stub stream the way that Chromecast works. That would be kind of low power, and I could get behind that. I do not want whole apps to live on my wrist. I just don't want it.
That's the issue with LTE, is it just opens up the door to that thing. And we saw on the Gear S and even the Gear S 2, the app experience is bad because you have to have separate apps installed on the watch. And that's kind of necessitated by, when you walk out of the house with just LTE and not your phone.
Right.
Because for some reason you're walking out of the house without your phone.
So according to LG, Google is working with developers right now to allow streaming apps to function in a specific sort of way for Android Wear in the not-so-distant future, and so that may be something that we get to see later on, and I'm really hoping that that doesn't mean native apps for Android Wear, because that would be a really bad thing, in my opinion.
There's already native apps on that thing. LG Health is installed on that watch and runs independently on that watch.
Yep.
That I have verified. It's
Okay, well, I don't want more of them.
I don't either. And
well, I mean, so are the watch faces that are installed and some of the other, you know, Motorola's the same thing. Yeah, their Moto Body and stuff like that. But that's kind of necessary. You need that if you're going to interface with the heart rate.
Well, I mean, you can, now correct me if I'm wrong, because I've never touched one, but it's my understanding once you have it set up and it's working, you leave your phone at home, you can be 1,000 miles away and open up the LG Health app and everything works as it's supposed to
work. Yeah, it works just as if you were on the previous watch or main and you were on Wi-Fi. You know, in a Wi-Fi location that's 100 miles away.
So you guys have kind of buried the lead here a little bit. It's running Android 6.0 Marshmallow and Android Wear 1.4.
It is. And
not, I mean, Google hasn't said that much about it other than, oh, hey, cell services here, which,
right.
You know.
So, I mean, that was the big thing here was the cell services. I get the feeling, based on the comment about the streaming thing, that maybe they're not done yet.
Yeah.
And that's why we're not hearing about update paths for everything else. I think that this might have just been a special thing with LG. I obviously don't know for sure. But I do know that, you know, one of the great and terrible at the same time things that came with Android 6.0 on my watch is that I now have an entirely separate place to screw around with permissions.
Oh, dear.
I have a separate tiny scrolling menu for every single app. On this wrist, let's see. I'm going to go ahead. 1, 2, 3. I had to scroll 3 times with my thumb now to get to the end of the list of apps that I have on here that have separate permission controls.
No.
So can I rant about how Google is just ruining everything that made Android Wear great by continuing to add more and more piles of on Android Wear?
I think that the permission thing could have been done, should have been done from the phone, the Android Wear app. I don't think that.
And unless there's an interface to install applications directly from your watch through Google Play, there's no need to have the permissions on the watch.
So it's a set back and forth. Like I can install, or I can go to the Amazon shopping app and I can say Amazon shopping can have access to it's like an all or nothing thing. It's really weird. There's a thing here. It says allow Amazon shopping to read the contents of your USB storage, record audio, modify or delete the contents of your USB storage, which are 3 different things, 3 different permissions. But instead of a check mark for each one of them, I get a check mark for all of them. When I go to open the app for the first time. And so I hit the check mark. And
presumably it says, you're walking down the street. And you were just reminded to buy some, you know, you thought you want to buy something from Amazon or put in your cart, and now you have to sit there and scroll through this.
But what happened to asking for permissions when I need to use the function in the app, which is the whole point of permissions on 6.0? This is opening the app for the very first time. It wants to give me permission access for all of this stuff immediately. And so it's not even working the same way that it's working in regular Android 6.0.
So, in other words, you hate that watch.
I'm not a fan. I'm gonna try really hard to give it a fair shake. And there's some things that I actually like about 6.0. They added some new gestures that I kind of dig. Just because.
Oh, see, that always falls in the too much crap category for me.
Why? It's one of those. It's a totally optional thing that you can either have or not use. And it's one
That's
of those things.
Nice
that,
thing about that. Yeah.
I don't use them, and I don't have to, and I'm upset about that.
When they introduce the scrolling with the flick, it's like you can still.
Yeah, just, I mean, there are situations where the scrolling with the flick has been legitimately useful, and to make it better, you can now act on the things that you're scrolling through, with a gesture up or down, to act on the cards that you're scrolling through. Which is, you know, what's the point of scrolling through all of these unless you're just going to glance? The ability to act on them is important, and so that's what you've got there as well.
The important part is to make sure that those gestures don't start triggering accidentally and your watch just starts freaking out while you're just trying to walk down.
And that's what I want to see, because it's, you know, I've turned them on. I'm going to use it through the weekend and see how it turns out. But yeah, I'm so far not a huge fan. The microphone and speaker for actually taking and receiving calls works really well. Which I knew it was going to, because we've seen like a dozen times now that microphones on these watches are actually really freaking good. So I knew that wasn't going to be a problem. But the speaker on this thing, like if I'm in a reasonably quiet room or if I'm in my car, like it works and I can hear the other person that I'm talking to, and it's not a bad deal. And I have to say, getting a call while I'm in the middle of a Destiny raid and not having to put my phone down so that the nurse can tell me my kid is sick is deeply satisfying and should give me a Father of the Year award.
Your kids are not allowed to be sick while you're playing Destiny.
Right?
They need to know that off the bat. You wait till I'm done.
Yeah. So, yeah, there are parts of this that work really well. And the parts that work really well, I think, unfortunately, they make me excited for these things to work really well on other watches, as terrible as that sounds.
It's like people keep trying to force this as a feature, as a design. And
I'm going to see if there's a way I can't force my Huawei watch to stay on this version and never update. Because you started talking about added gestures and added complications and all this other nonsense. First
version, okay, but gestures, like they're not enabled by default. You don't ever have to worry about them unless you want them. So I don't see the point in getting excited about that, because if you don't use the gestures, they're not there. They don't exist.
I'm allowed to get upset by things I don't have to use.
I don't think that's true. I'm pretty sure you made that up.
I did.
But yeah, some of the extra stuff, like the permissions thing, I'm really hoping that this is just super early, and this isn't how it's going to be in real life. But yeah, there are a bunch of things about this watch as a whole that I wish I was happier about.
At least when you pull down from the top, you don't have two rows of quick settings and three sliders, and then a clear all button like every other LG product.
That's true. But you do have two obnoxious buttons that you can't map to whatever you want, and one of them is always and forever the health button.
Yeah, the hardware buttons that are always mapped to something.
The other one is always and forever for... I don't even understand this. Why is the top button my contacts?
Because you can call people call with the people. Watch, and you want to be able to call them quickly.
Crap. Now, if I want to call them quickly, I'm going to say, okay, Google, call this person.
Oh, please tell me it's calling somebody named this person.
No, of course it's not. I like, okay, fine. You want people to use LG Health so that the bottom button is mapped to LG Health. Whatever. The top button should be mapped to whatever I want it to be.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's I'm never going to use that button for contacts. Well, never once ever.
Maybe somebody will make a Bluetooth button with a sticker that you can just stick on the other side.
Oh, I've decided that I'm instead going to throw this watch into the river. Thanks, Jerry.
Wow.
You're welcome.
And it'll still be able to get your notifications.
Not that you want me to be a helper, but I am curious. I mean, it should work exactly the same with any other device, right? Not just a V10.
I'm not paired to the V10 because I don't like that phone. It's paired to my Nexus 5X, and it works
fair enough. No, just checking, because yeah. Nexus 5X, like, which thing
is on Project Fi, and so, like, when you go to make a call, the very first time it asks you if you want to call from the watch SIM or from the phone SIM. And so I had a call from both, and they both worked exactly the same.
Gotcha. Wait, can you call the phone from the watch?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Do it.
All right.
Won't that create a singularity?
We'll find out.
Both sides of the vessel will go into the shadows.
Oh, I guess they're not both. They're not using the fancy AT&T stuff where the same number.
We're going to be Word Russell Go.
This is going to be great. So I've punched in the number in the dialer, which you can't see because it's too dark or it's too bright. But if I want to see the number to confirm, I then have to pull down.
Oh.
Because the dialer takes up the whole screen.
No.
So that's a thing that happened. So yeah, I'm calling now. Let's see. It's got my pretty face there and
I can hear it.
Can hear it, yeah.
And
I hope your voicemail says this is calling. Russell. I'm raiding in Destiny. Yeah. Leave me alone.
So yeah, now I'm calling from
it's the same phone that it's connected to over Android Wear.
Yes.
That's
because it's a different
singularity. Nah, just kidding.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, is he coming back?
There we go. It muted me independently of you blocking the video.
Sorry. Hangout fun. My fault. How much does this thing cost again?
I have no idea.
Anyone remember?
I probably
remember.
Should have looked.
Too much.
A bargain at any price.
Oh, stop. Anything else? Because when I saw it, I didn't get to see the UI. They wouldn't turn it on for us. Cause...
No, this, I mean, unless, well, until you go looking.
After what I'm hearing.
Until you go looking, this mm-hmm. this looks like Android Wear 1.3. Hmm. Like the, a lot of the.
$449. with a 2-year contract from Verizon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, you mean you have to sign a contract and pay $450?
Correct. Or you can pay full retail, which is only $50 more, and not have a 2-year contract.
Okay.
But the watch, you have to keep using Verizon service either way.
$500.
Or, I mean, you have to keep using Verizon service either way. But I guess at least without a contract, you can at least stop paying and turn it back into the Wi-Fi.
Hang on. I'm going to look up.
You can have this watch on Verizon or a Nexus 6P is what I just understood.
I'm going to look up Verizon's cheapest flip phone and then strap it to my wrist and see if I get the same
Verizon. It's probably smaller than that watch.
Yeah.
So I hope nobody's mad if the hero image for this review is this watch in the bottom of a trash can.
Only or the river. Only if it's on fire.
You promised the river.
I promised the river.
All right, here's the LG Exalt 2. Which we can get for $192. It's got a cool little secondary display on the front that tells time. There we go.
You could put that on your wrist.
You could. Dude. See? And when you want to talk, you flick your wrist open so it has gestures.
Yeah. Can you put an SD card full of music and play it on there? Does it have an MP3 player?
Yeah.
There's your replacement. We got to figure it out.
Oh, man. Wow.
I think we need to buy Russell one of those so he can compare.
And we could implant a priv in your arm. And then, I don't know. I'm pushing that, I guess.
So Verizon is $5 more per month to let your watch access the same data that your phone and tablet and family
use. See, that's reasonable. I'm glad to see that because... When carriers first started talking about this, I think a lot of us were afraid it was going to be another $20 charge.
Yeah, I think Verizon is $10 for tablets, $15 for hotspots maybe, $5 for watches. I know T-Mobile does it $5 because the watch has its like own plan.
Yeah.
I get that there's got to be a little bit of a charge for that just because.
The only difference here is that that only works if you're a Verizon customer.
That's true.
You can't go buy this with just a $5 plan if you're not a Verizon customer, you know, like you presumably could do from T-Mobile.
You could buy that flip phone and
right.
So as it stands right now, if you absolutely wanted something on your wrist that made phone calls and had access to data, in no way is this better than the Gear S2. As far as I'm concerned.
Doesn't seem like it to me, honestly.
They were really, at least in the meeting I was in, and you know, this was a month ago, 2 months ago, they were really positioning it as something for, you know, exercising, for the active lifestyle.
I can't wait to get a picture of this on Jen Carner's wrist.
Yeah.
So that we can see what someone who's a big fan of the active lifestyle thinks of this thing that takes up, you know, her entire forearm.
Probably put it around, her bicep.
I think I could probably put this around her neck, truth be told. Like,
you know, you should write the review as if it's an armband. What? You mean it's not an armband?
Security anklet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, if you need pictures comparing it to one of those, just holler.
Oh, my God. Welcome back, Phil. I feel like we should talk about the priv some more. I think people are feeling denied.
I have not changed any of my feelings on that phone. I still really like it.
It's funny because like companies want their review units back, and you guys have been scrambling. Like, oh, I don't want to send it back. And
I like it.
I'll let one of you guys have mine.
I like it a lot, and I'll be honest with myself and with everybody. The only reason I like it a lot is because of the keyboard.
Tell them why, though, because you and I were just having a good conversation.
Yeah, okay. I have to go get dialysis once a month. All right, fine. I went and did that yesterday, and while I'm sitting in this fancy chair with my arm and leg all sprawled out, my wife's in the waiting room, and I could pop the priv open with my left hand and send her stupid jokes over Hangouts. With any other phone, I could probably one-hand it with my left hand, but it would come out and, you know, look like it's in Russian or something like Phil will do. But with this, it was fine. I could type just fine. That's a pretty big deal. You know, maybe you don't have to go get dialysis once a month, and I hope you don't, but there will be times where you'll want to type with one hand, or you'll want to the tactile response of having a keyboard. If that sounds like you, this is a great freaking phone.
I'm going to use it some more this weekend and see what I think.
I mean, just like today, because I was sad that I had to send mine back, I switched over to the Nexus 5X, and the number of mistakes that I have made sending messages to people through swipe typing on Google Keyboard and autocorrect just getting it wrong, like tripled immediately compared to what I was doing when I was sending messages on the BlackBerry Priv. And it's something I noticed immediately was how many times I was getting messages wrong when I was sending them to people. I'm faster. Swiping is definitely faster than typing on the Priv, but it's also way less accurate.
Well, you should get out your Note 5 with that Ryan Seacrest thing.
Let me tell you.
the typo, I think I have one over here. Well, I should send it to Russell. It's in a deep drawer
people,
here.
People who sent me messages saying that I was mean and that they loved their Samsung plastic keyboard thing.
Mother of
damn. God.
Andrew has a typo.
The typo doesn't work on the new iPhones because that company got sued into oblivion. So it doesn't
also, I mean, the keyboard's pretty good, but I would put this on the same level as that Samsung.
Well, remember when the Samsung thing came out, we're like, we have to compare it to the typo, and just it was almost a little mean-spirited, but we still wanted to do it even though you couldn't use the typo anymore.
Right.
Which one is more functional, the one that doesn't work
or the one that doesn't work?
Poorly? Yeah.
And the ones for a phone that you actually want to use today.
The Priv is a really nice design. I think they did it well. And if you flip it upside down, it's just like the original GS6 Edge.
And the touch-sensitive keyboard, like the ability to scroll and swipe and do stuff like that. Like, I get that that's not a new thing for BlackBerry users, and I keep getting that message. You know, ha ha ha, we've had this for a while. That's cool, guys. I really like you.
Yeah, but the rest of your operating system sucks.
Oh, hey. Now we're going to start getting mail.
Andrew. Send it.
All right, we're going to take Andrew out to the woodshed. When we come back, we'll do a couple voicemails, and we'll get into the Q&A.
BlackBerry woodshed.
And then we'll get out of here. So hang on, be right back. At this point, everyone understands that in the right situations, open source software is important technology. It's powerful and useful. No one really disagrees with that. I mean, the most successful open source project of all time is a little thing called the internet. Tim Berners-Lee put the www in the public domain. Then, of course, there's Berkeley Unix, TCP/IP, BSD Linux, Android, the Internet of Things. You get the picture. The only real disagreement is whether open source can be used in an enterprise situation to do their most important work. Well, Red Hat has been settling this debate one customer at a time for more than a decade. They started with Red Hat Enterprise Linux, and today they certify and support application development, storage, and cloud infrastructure for every conceivable enterprise deployment. The New York Stock Exchange, DreamWorks, each and every airline, healthcare company, and telecom giant in the Fortune Global 500, they all rely on Red Hat. In fact, more than 90% of all the companies in the Fortune 500 are Red Hat customers. Why? Because they get the powerful, constantly improving innovation of open source without the risk of having to do it alone. It's that simple. Red Hat, enterprise software trusted in the world's most demanding data centers. Find out what they can do for yours at redhat.com. Andrew.
First he says the S word, and then he gets the BlackBerry kids all in an uproar.
So when you do post-production on a podcast, like when you submit a podcast, you have to say whether it's clean or dirty, basically. You know, whether it's safe for work, safe for kids or not. And I don't necessarily care, but like last week, I needed to know as I was uploading your podcast, and I felt like a parent when I was asking. I was like, did you guys use any dirty words?
They should have a special box on there. Was Jerry Hildenbrand?
No, I mean, there very much is a box that you need to check when you do that.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah, no, man. It is. It is, actually. But it was just funny as I was asking you guys. Should we do voicemails first?
Yes.
Hooray.
Yay.
Sure.
I hope they're both about the Priv.
No, actually, they aren't. First one we have is from Ed.
What's up, Android Central crew? My name's Ed. Hopefully this is a quick, easy question for you. I have the Cricket version of the Galaxy S6, and what I'm dealing with is the RAM issues on Lollipop 5.0.2. My concern is, how long am I going to be waiting for a software update, if at all? And I know everybody out there is probably like, hey, you should have bought one that wasn't from Cricket. But my question is, what can I do to possibly use the software from the AT&T version to update my phone to 5.1.1 or hopefully Marshmallow here soon? Other than that, I love the phone. It's just simply, like I said, my concerns are with the RAM issues. So I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. Thanks.
Be patient.
I'm not going to say you'd never be able to port the AT&T ROM to your Cricket phone, because I know exactly that scenario has happened in the past with other phones, but it's not easy. You're going to need people who love to do this and are willing to sit down with the phone and risk breaking it to spend lots of time to make it work. And maybe they are. I haven't looked. I would hope that somebody is.
And potentially introduce more issues than what you see now on 5.0.2.
Unfortunately, we don't know what Marshmallow is going to bring, but even if you get upgraded to 5.1 from Samsung, your RAM issues don't go away. Those are specific Samsung tweaks that pull stuff out of memory for a very good reason.
Tough to call them issues.
Right.
It's just the way that it works, and it works the same in 5.1.
And we saw that with HTC a year ago, or was it the year before? They want your experience on the home screen to be very fast, very snappy, and very delightful. To make sure that happens, they push other apps out of memory.
Then on the opposite end of the spectrum, you look at Motorola's first Lollipop update,
which the
launcher just redrew any time that you were in an app for more than 5 seconds because it dumped from memory. And I don't see how that's necessarily a preferable way to go about things.
But I don't even know the Cricket version. Is it fully unlocked? I mean, that would be your first step. I will point everybody to our forums for general chat about it, and to XDA for hardcore technical details. Read everything you can read about it in both places and see if you can proceed from there. Just don't go into it thinking, oh, this is something I can do over a few beers at night in front of my laptop, because you can't. There's a lot to it.
Good question, though. And
oh, yeah.
Ultimately, a crappy one to have to ask, you know?
Yeah, and it's a shame that you can't easily buy an unlocked Samsung phone in the United States that is tailored to, you know, our radios and still has a warranty. But until that happens, you know, I'm not going to knock you for buying a Cricket branded version. You probably saved a few bucks, and if you're going to use Cricket, that was a wise call.
Come on, MacBook, quit going to sleep. Finally, we have our old pal, RF Mike.
Good afternoon, Android Central. It's RF Mike checking in today. My question for you guys is, what do you prefer to edit your RAW photos with now that Snapseed supports RAW? What do you think of that application versus what Adobe Lightroom can do? Thank you, and I hope to hear what you guys have to say.
If I'm going to do any RAW editing, I just pull it onto my desktop for Lightroom. I'm not something that powerful. With all those tools, I'm not going to bother on the phone or tablet personally.
And by the way, Lightroom and its new syncing stuff actually works pretty well. It doesn't work at all on multiple devices, which probably isn't a problem for most people. But yeah, I mean, that works pretty smartly.
I'm going against the grain. I've been playing with camera apps and stuff and have been shooting in RAW and using Snapseed. Those tools are really easy to use and really powerful. If you want to edit something quickly on your phone, and if your picture was good to start with, Snapseed will do it for you. If you trying to save something that's on the edge of being worth keeping, you probably have to go to something a little more powerful. But don't write off Snapseed until you've actually tried it.
Can I ask a dumb question? Because I haven't messed around with it yet.
Yeah.
Does the Nexus do RAW?
Not out of the box, but there are apps. I use a manual camera.
Right. And that's my biggest gripe against the Nexus is I just don't like the camera app that much. I think LG's camera app is much better. Samsung's is much better.
It's just not very good or fast.
Yeah.
Well, on the 6P, the camera app is pretty fast, but it's still very, very basic.
Yeah.
You can take a picture, shoot a video, panorama. Can you still do those photospheres? I assume you can. Yeah,
photospheres.
Or slow motion video, and that's it. You have no, you know, turn the flash on or off. That's it.
I hadn't done a photosphere in a long time, and I did one from the hotel in China, and it turned out okay. It's nice if that's still a thing.
But Snapseed is free, and if your phone can shoot raw photos, everybody out there should download it and try it, because I'm willing to bet a lot of the times it's exactly what you needed.
I just don't like small displays like that. I need a computer to really do it well. Let's get into the Q&A. JD wants to know, hey, fellas, I know that some people are sick of the Priv news, but it's an interesting concept. Do you think BlackBerry expected so much interest in the Priv, and that's the reason they didn't have enough at launch, or do you think it's great marketing? I mean, as we find out every major launch, you know, this stuff is hard.
Yeah.
Manufacturing is not easy. Distribution is not easy. And that's when everything goes right.
I have a feeling that BlackBerry didn't want to make some of the mistakes they've made in the past and have warehouses full of Privs that they have to sell for $50 each.
Having 2 million, Z10s just sitting around.
So they probably didn't manufacture a bunch extra.
We were talking with, I don't remember if it was in the interviews we did, but with the Pebble CEO, and I totally forgot the name of their previous company, but that was a big reason that one failed, he said, was they had too much product on hand and couldn't sell it. So that's why Pebble kind of went the opposite direction. I think I saw another question here on, Ezekiel, did we ever get a good answer for what happened with the Google Store 6P orders? It seems clear now that a significant number of people got devices well after those who ordered post-release. Mine just got delivered last Monday.
It's also hard to paint a clear picture of exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you see a report of, I bought one on this day and it showed up this day. That doesn't necessarily mean he took your spot in line or something like
right.
that. And my it's not issue, a first come, first serve, unfortunately. Sorry, guys.
But my issue is apparently Google support has people thinking that it is first come, first serve.
Right.
It can't be, because these aren't all shipped from one building.
They're not all going to the same place.
Right. They've got warehouses in several different locations that have varying amounts of stock. And if you live in Pennsylvania and they have a warehouse in Kentucky, they're not going to ship it from California. They're going to ship it from Kentucky. So that factors into it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I forget what it was, where people were looking up like shipping dates from serial numbers or something.
That was the Nexus 4?
Was it? Yeah. I forget why people were doing that.
Somebody decoded to see where they were shipping from.
Yeah.
And what day they were manufactured for some reason.
Yeah, I forget why.
All I know is everybody that thinks it's hard to get a Priv or a 6P, go back in the internet time machine and look up the Nexus 7 2013. And see what it was like when something was really difficult to get. People waited 4 or 5 months for those.
Yeah.
Nexus 4, too.
I forget the date that I ordered the Priv on, but it'll be here, I think they said no later than the 24th, or maybe starting the 24th. So another, 10 days. Pablo asks, with the rumors of Google making a phone in-house, would that mark the end of the Nexus line and replace? I think people need to take a step back. I saw those rumors while I was gone and stuff. There was that one. There was another one that's saying Google was going to start making processors. And it would not surprise me in the slightest if this was in the normal course of doing business with making an operating system and Nexus phones and, people having these discussions and that getting extrapolated to Google's making this. Yeah!
I mean, just look at, they make Project Tango tablets and phones with lots of advanced sensors and processors. And yes, they are phones and tablets. I mean, you have to have people with these expertise and you have to have these conversations.
And just because somebody at Google is kicking around ideas like Android Silver or Chrome merging into Android doesn't mean those things are really ever going to happen. Those are just ideas that are getting thrown around that may or may not come to light.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Google is looking into what they need to do to make better processors in their phone.
And that was one of the things I took away from the Kirin thing, was that it was obvious how much these silicon manufacturers are talking to Google in that respect, especially for the I don't know what you want to call it, for the not off chip thing, but for the secondary type processor, not the APU, not the GPU, but the
co-processor. The
co-processor,
location.
Yeah, for the stuff that gets offloaded.
Yeah.
And there were some interesting slides. I guess we can put those up because I saw some other people do it. Just the amount of stuff that has been taken off the APU and off the GPU and into this co-processor was really interesting to see. But it's more obvious to me than ever just how much Google has to work with them from the ground up to really make the stuff work.
But if Google does decide they want custom CPUs, and that might happen, that doesn't mean they're going to put an addition on their Mountain View campus and hire people to come in and build processors. They're going to pay TSMC or Samsung or somebody to build them for them.
Just like Apple does.
Yep.
Well, sort of. Apple acquired them.
They design their own chips, and then they go to Samsung and TSMC.
Right. That's true.
Which they own now to build them.
Tom asks, "Hey guys, I'm thinking of upgrading my TV in the next few years. How frequent are updates to TVs that have Android TV embedded? Are they handled directly by Google, or do the manufacturers push them out like on phones?" That's a very good question.
We haven't actually seen a situation where that happens yet. The closest that we've gotten is the big monster that I was looking at a couple weeks back, and there was an update that happened from Google. But it was separate from the software updates that could happen from the manufacturer, because it's not the interface is both Google's interface and the manufacturer's interface. So it's this weird kind of hybrid between the two. You really are still better with a set-top box,
which are also updated separately and individually from each other.
Right.
But it's a whole lot cheaper.
Wendell wants to know, am I the only one who feels like people hate it when any Google product, such as 6P, Project Phi, gets good press? Hence, Bengate, the FCC complaint about Big 12,
you're the only person on the entire planet who feels that way.
Look, I mean, phones can bend. Phones can break. Don't do stupid things to your phones and they'll be just fine. That's not to say there aren't occasionally inherent problems,
but so he's indicating that people just don't want to see Google succeed at certain products.
I think people.
What he's saying is that when a phone gets popular, people do dumb crap to it, and then the people who help make it popular get upset that thing happened because it becomes a media circus.
Yeah.
I agree with Wendell. There is a certain subset of people on the internet who want to make sure everything sounds bad except the phone that Samsung that they bought. And they will go to any lengths to invade any type of positive experience with their crap and nonsense, and I wish they would stop. Enjoy what you have. I don't care if you like it better.
That's why I don't worry about it when Jerry and Andrew give me crap about the G4. I enjoy it for the most part, not 100%, but I enjoy the G4 a lot more than these yahoos do, and they're wrong, and I'm okay with that.
I think that's what kills me about the comments that I get about the pre-review.
Yeah.
Is that, like, I really dig that phone, and I know that there are a group of people who really dig that phone, but the people who buy a Nexus 6P are not going to give a crap about the BlackBerry Priv, and I get that. So just shut up about it. Like,
half those people would like it if they tried it, is the worst thing.
I like the Nexus 6P a lot more than, maybe not a lot more than I thought I would. I think J.R. Raphael, who we have on the podcast every now and then, did a good thing about coming around to larger phones, too, and I think I've kind of resigned myself to that as well.
You have to, yeah.
I
got that 5X in the mail today. This is the smallest Android phone I think you can buy now.
And I tell you, as I was using it for a couple of weeks, it started to be a little too small.
There's a smaller one. You have the OnePlus here, the OnePlus X.
Considerably
smaller than the 5X.
And the HTC One A9. We've actually got a couple of small phones right now. Like,
I meant real phones.
Whoa.
Hey.
You're never going to get me to like the A9, and it all because of the price tag.
You want me to send it to you?
Yes. The price tag is totally absurd. I'm 100% there with you.
That phone sold for $249, I would love it and cherish it and tell everybody they should try it. The answer to your question, yes, Phil, I need to play more with adaptable storage.
Sure.
And that's the only – if you're not using it, I need to try to break it.
Yes, I found it. There it is. Let's see what's on my desk right now. One Nexus 6P, a G4, a Moto Q9H, a Moto Nexus 6. What is this? Nexus 5X, another Nexus 6P, A9, Nexus 9, Note 5, BlackBerry Priv, Evo 4G.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell M9. Is that doing on your desk?
I bought it the other day because I thought Alex might need pictures for one of the Android history things. And I didn't have one. I gave mine to my brother years ago.
Mine sort of broke. I may have taken the back off.
You and I spent so many nights awake trying to fix my Evo back in the day.
I do. We got it fixed, though, didn't we?
Yeah.
At least at one point?
Yeah, at some point. That thing was pretty software busted.
I think you broke it the next day again, probably. Probably. But we did have it running.
Then I gave it to my brother. Chris says, I wanted to buy the OnePlus X, but read performance issues with games and poor picture quality. For $150 more, I can get a Moto X Pure. Would I be making the right decision?
Yes, the Moto X Pure is, if you actually have the money to spend,
yeah, I mean, then do it. For 60% more, I can buy something that's better.
Well,
yeah.
But the bigger issues was the OnePlus X not having proper LTE bands for the US, right?
Right.
Well, it's missing the important band for AT&T.
Okay.
Which I don't understand how that happened.
That makes no sense to me. But as far as the other things go, it seems to get around just fine. I mean, it's a $250 phone, guys. Let's not expect the world out of it. The picture quality seems pretty good, and it seems to get around in apps just fine. You're not going to be able to do any hardcore gaming on it or anything.
You know, I cracked a joke earlier, but the OnePlus X is the first phone from that company that I'm even remotely interested in.
Oh, I'm way more interested in this than the OnePlus 2.
It seems like a good buy for the money. And that's what I want out of one of these phones. Is it worth the price you have to pay for it? That's my most important criteria.
Right. I mean, yeah, the missing band for AT&T is funky. I don't get that part.
I know we just did a best phone ever, but if somebody were to corner me and say, Jerry, 2015, the best Android phone that you can buy, I would still have to say the Idol 3 because it's $249, has a really good camera, a really good screen, and it runs good enough to do most anything you want to do with it. So price is a very important factor that we forget sometimes.
I was talking to somebody, I forget who, last week, maybe Rich Brohm. I was talking to somebody else about that and just how good that phone was for the money.
Yep. I don't know how they did it, but they did it.
Magic.
I mean, we already talked about how they did it. They loaded it full. Yeah, they put six different antivirus apps on there and charged
you. Tinfoil hat away, boy.
Just like going on here. They put 500 apps on that thing, and they charged each one of those companies for the privilege.
They allowed you to uninstall every single one of them.
Which is awesome, but that answers the question how they did it.
That's true.
Well, do it again in 2016. Put 501.
By the way, for everybody at home, you should have heard these guys this morning. They were really in bad moods then.
Write a game. This is
I had a really good reason to be in a bad mood.
Oh man, let's find one more. Ronnie wants to know. He says, "I love my Moto X Pure and switched my wife from an iPhone 4S to a Moto G. Is a cheap way to try out Android, and she loves it. So will Motorola ever make a mostly pure Android tablet? Want something that's cheaper than the Nexus 9? I don't see Motorola ever making a tablet again.
Your best bet for a tablet right now, if you're aiming for cheap, is I think. Isn't that still?
Yeah.
Which one?
The Shield.
Mm.
The one, the stylus and all of that stuff.
Especially since they started catching on fire and everybody got their RMA units, you probably see a lot of them putting them up for resale and refurb and stuff like that.
Yeah, buy one of the ones that'll burn on Craigslist for like $50.
Or what's the entry level Tab S2 cost? That's a little more expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're talking like $329.
Yeah.
At least at one point it was. Now, don't. It's worth $329.
It's a nice tablet. Absolutely.
It's a class above anything you're going to buy for less than $300. But, you know, I don't know if it's worth $329.
But I don't think that you should be holding out for Motorola to make one. I mean, the tablet space is just, Android tablet space is just still kind of funky.
I have a Priv question. Why in the name of all things holy did the Priv ship with a ROM that has the option to put it into a retail demo mode?
For demoing, dude.
Oh.
You might want to be sitting at a bar with your friends and say, check out this sweet demo.
Yeah, let me do that right now.
Don't all Android Wear watches ship with that?
Oh, I have to enter the retail mode password now. That's handy.
I think it's password 123.
Are you serious?
No.
Let's try it.
There's your BlackBerry security right there.
Let's try it. Oh my god, no, that wouldn't it. Alright, I think that's gonna do us this week. I needed to ease back into things. Yeah.
Boy, my camera sucks.
Yeah, I don't know what your problem is today. It's a little dark in there too.
Yeah, well,
he was talking about his camera.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, sun's already set here. So.
Well, I think I need a new computer too. This old Mac Mini just isn't loving the new OS X and Chrome at the same time.
Does it not have Band 12?
Well, why did you do that? You.
Now, you know what? A funny story about Band 12.
Yeah.
The Priv has Band 12 on it.
So, best phone ever?
Where I live, T-Mobile got rid of 2G and added Band 12 support.
Yeah.
And my Priv will connect to Band 12 automatically, and it's so freaking slow because I'm right on the fringe. I hate it, and I almost want to leave T-Mobile because their internet's so damn slow here at the house now.
Well, but now you can stream Netflix without it count against your...
Oh, no. Why are you doing this? You want this podcast to go for another hour where I just shout at the microphone? Because that's what happens next.
But T-Mobile had a really cool concert that a bunch of journalists went to afterwards, so it's okay now.
Hey, somebody's going
to... Your data plan only went up by $5 without telling you. No big deal.
Now I'm sticking a fork in it before I get in trouble. Oh man, so next couple weeks, I don't think anything too crazy is happening though. In 2 weeks it's the Thanksgiving holiday here in the US where we
I am playing with all of the weird things next week.
Are you?
Yeah. Ooh. I have this thing, my Mio armband.
The hell is that?
It's a gesture armband.
What the hell is that?
You'll see next week. I have a whole bunch of stuff that's coming out right next week. I'm going to talk about the Mio armband and the apps that it supports now. We also have the Gear VR, the proper Gear VR, not Innovator Edition, is going to hit Best Buy on the 20th. And I'm going to have to split time between that and Marvel's Jessica Jones on Netflix. So podcast is going to be real interesting for me because I'm going to try and not do both at the same time. But yeah, I have all of those things happening next week.
Look how happy you are.
I am. I've have found these things that I really enjoy playing with, and so that's what I'm going to do next week.
I was just looking at the list of, you know, you're talking about watching stuff. I started Master of None last night.
Oh, I haven't started that yet.
First one's really funny, especially if you're a parent. No, I was just looking at the list of movies I watched on the way home. Jurassic World, Trainwreck, Ant-Man, Vacation, Mission Impossible, Fantastic Four, Rise of the Sucky Reboot.
Oh man, that was so bad.
Avengers, which was also not good. Ultron was not good. Sorry, it just wasn't. Kingsman, which was decent.
Elysium was pretty funny.
Elysium, End of the Tour, which was excellent, if you haven't seen that. Silver Linings Playbook, which was depressing as hell, but good. But I had a good movie trip on my way back. So in 2 weeks, we've got the Thanksgiving holiday here in the U.S., so I don't know what we'll do for that week. We might not do a live show. We'll see. I'll let you know well in advance. Anything else going on we need to be aware of for the good of the cause?
Yes? I play with a Steam box. There's not much to do with Android there, but if you've got any questions, hit me on Google Plus.
Oh, speaking of questions, there was one emailed podcast question I wanted to get to. Am I in there? Yeah, I'm in there. Darren said, you spend a lot of time asking about how watches look when reviewing them, and that makes sense, but I work outside and I've always worn a rugged watch. And also a runner, so I'm thinking about a watch for Christmas for myself and some possibilities. What do you guys think? He was thinking about the Smartwatch 3 or the Moto 360 Sport or the ZenWatch 2. I've been banging these watches around for as long as I've worn them. I haven't broken one yet. I'm a little surprised.
I haven't either, but it's one of those things that, you know, it's going to work really well until it doesn't.
Right.
Okay, I cracked the screen on my original G-Watch, but I was changing in the fan belt. Loosening the alternator and the wrench slipped and my hand smacked right against the radiator, so it should have broke. It probably saved my wrist from getting cut up. But that's the level of abuse that where they fail. Other than that, all of my Android Wear watches and Pebbles look really nice.
Yeah, the only problem that I've had is the Huawei watch. Where the lugs are is a different polish than the band around the actual glass, and I scraped the hell out of that.
I hate you, Russell. I hate you.
Oh, you just saw it too, didn't you? Yeah.
I hate this watch. Hell, isn't it? I hate this watch.
Throw it in the river.
Yep.
We're going to get so many emails this week, and you can send those all to jerry@androidcentral.com.
All right, I'm getting the Dremel tool out. We're going to buff this baby clean.
Email podcast@androidcentral.com. That's also where you can send your voicemails. I keep forgetting to say that week after week, but record your voice, send it in, podcast@androidcentral.com, and we will get to those. We are brought to you by shopandroid.com. Thank you, Russell, for remembering to say that last week. I heard that. I think you remembered to say it.
I did.
Yeah. You did really good. You guys don't need me.
Professional.
I've been saying we don't need you for years.
That's true.
But we love you.
That's true. All right, so we will be back next week. Thank you, everybody listening live. Thank you, everybody listening at home later. Everybody on the video, hi. How are you? And we'll see you all next week.
Peace. So long.
Nasty camera guy saying bye.
What does it mean when every commercial bank in the Fortune 500 relies on Red Hat for enterprise software? Well, it means that they understand that the innovation of open source is as valuable as the security and support that they get from trusted experts. Red Hat. Tried, tested, and trusted in the world's most demanding data centers. Find out how at redhat.com.